Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hot Body Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
And I am Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along to the Melchester Odyssey. Here we go again. We are looking at the issue, which was the 10th of July, 1982. 39 years ago, Sam. I'm looking at the front cover, but I'm not going to talk about what is on the front cover because it's a huge spoiler for what happens in the story, which I think's weird.
But it's like a landmark sort of showpiece front cover.
It is. It's a major, major event. But I think this could have been the following week's cover. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
But they got carried away. Very often with something like that, it's a sales thing. And you go, do you know what? We were down last week. Because when you're publishing a weekly, you like have to respond fucking from one issue to the next very quickly.
Respond.
Like the sales figures might come in on the Wednesday, but you've got to put the following issue to bed on the Thursday. You've got 24 hours to respond, right?
Yeah.
So you think, oh, fuck, the sales fucking crashed last week. I didn't see that coming. Quick, get the special cover we were saving and just slap it on now.
The sales crashed last week. Maybe it's because we've turned it into a fucking cricket story. Just saying.
Yeah.
But
although I'm fucking loving the cricket storyline, a couple of people tweeted saying I think I'm preferring the cricket stuff to the football stuff, and there is something funny about him. It's just about the arrogance and hubris of Roy kind of just waltzing into the world of Top Flight cricket,
the realm of cricket,
and
yeah,
just like sort of like treating it exactly the same as he would football.
Yeah. A couple of other things on the front cover worth noting. It sells Solve the Fruit Gum's Secret, free poster inside.
Whoa.
Don't know what that is. I think that's an ad tie-in.
I wouldn't mind solving the fruit gum secret. Mate, do you still get fruit gums? Because when I went to the cinema when I was a kid, I was remembering this because I went past the site of my childhood cinema, which was called Hammersmith ABC in King Street, Hammersmith. And it was where every film that you talk about when you're remembering seeing it when you were a kid, right? All of them, fucking Empire Strikes Back, Back to the Future, all of those classic films. I saw them in this cinema. It's walking distance from my home. And it hasn't been there for a few years, but this building was there, but it had been turned into something else. But I went past yesterday, and the whole site has been demolished, and I felt a bit sad. And so I started thinking about it, and when I went, I know you always think of things like popcorn, don't you? But when I went, I would have those green boxes because they did the green tubes of Roundtree's fruit pastels and Roundtree's fruit gums. But when you went to cinema, you'd get a box of them, small box, not much bigger than 20 cigarettes, similar sort of size and shape, 20 fags. And
5 times the price of a tube.
Yeah. And probably not that many more gums. But here's the thing. The gums were shaped like the fruit they were supposed to taste of. As opposed to the small dimpled discs that came in the tube.
Yes.
And they would stick to your teeth. You'd eat one, and half of it would go down into your guts, but the other half would remain stuck to your teeth. And you'd be there in the darkness, reaching inside your mouth to pull bits of gum off of your teeth. It was a
bonus
fucking
teeth you'd been granted with,
Complete palaver, basically.
Yeah.
But then I thought to myself, The fruit gum, are they even still going? Because to me, fruit gums and fruit pastels were two of the main fucking sweets. Was it the same for you? I mean, were they, these were two big...
I never even dabbled in fruit gums. I was so enthralled to fruit pastels.
Really?
The fruit gums, you know, I wasn't interested. Weren't on my radar.
Were you aware of
them? I love fruit pastels. I was aware of them, yeah, of course, but why would I bother? They weren't coated in sugar. Why would I want them?
But do you know what? You're actually right, because I was actually thinking this. I was thinking, I'd always decide... My mum be, what do you want? Do you want pastels or gums?
What do you want, little Samuel?
I want both this week. Okay, then. And I'll alternate.
Make you happy.
Pastel, gum, pastel, gum, pastel, gum. No, but what I thought to myself, why the fuck did I ever have the fucking pastels? Because the flavours were the same, but one was soft, easy to consume, and covered in a bonus layer of sugar. Yeah. The other was like fucking torture to consume and took forever to eat just one.
Yeah, exactly.
So fuck
yeah.
knows why it was an ordeal. Mucking around with fucking...
And I'd put the fruit pastel in and I'd just slowly suck the sugar off.
Oh, that was
the
game,
you've got a fruit
wasn't it?
Gum after that, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think one of their ad campaigns was based on the whole idea of how long can you suck before you chew it?
Yeah, it rings a bell, actually, yeah.
And they do, like, a contest to see if you could suck a whole one. Yeah. They'd claim it was impossible, because in the end, you'd just be like, ah, choo, choo, choo.
Choo, 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 choo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's on the front cover. Solve the fruit gum secret. Free poster inside. I haven't got the poster in this. It must have been, an ad tie-in.
Yeah.
That was separate. And then at the bottom, it's a big thing. 500 top Trump's games to be given away. 500!
Fucking hell.
Fucking
You've
hell.
Got a good chance of writing in and winning that.
Yeah, I reckon so. And what it is, I can't find the page inside, it's a questionnaire about the comic. And you've got to fill in the questionnaire and then you go into the hat and you could possibly win the top trumps. I'm going to see if I can find it and see what some of the questions are. There it is. Top 20 questionnaire. We might not actually get into the story itself this week. Waddington's playing cards have given us 500 packs of Soccer Stars 82 cards featuring the top footballers in the country. Oh, I mean, I should have sent you the photograph of this. When you see the card design, it's an absolutely classic card design. Look at that.
Yeah, brilliant.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's timeless, that.
Classic.
So you've got Paul Mariner.
I mean, top trumps at this era. Top trumps, of course, are still going. But I think they're kind of like an irony purchase for people our age these days. I mean, Len's got some. And actually, for my birthday last year, he did actually get me Soccer Stars Top Trumps. He bought it for me, which is nice. Actually, sorry, just on a brief tangent, just real quick. Of all the things that you've ever bought, like for ostensibly for your kids, but really they're a nostalgia purchase for yourself, which one has worked? Which one has been the most successful in terms of, like, you and the kids liking it? So I'll give an example would be, I bought a Kaplunk, but the kids didn't like it because they thought it was shit.
I can't think of one off the top of my head, but what I did just think of there is that I bought the 1978 World Cup Top Trumps off of eBay a couple of years ago. And I paid about £10, I think, for them. But they're fucking lovely.
Yeah, I bet the kids aren't going to go near them as well.
Oh yeah, the kids aren't going anywhere near them. Mm. They're just mine. They're just daddy's toys.
What would you think of buying a Sky Electrics?
Nah, it's like when I bought that Subutio. I bought a Subutio a while ago, and it was the old cloth pitch.
Yeah,
And it's a 1970s edition, and it's got the teams in it, and everything. And we played it once.
Yeah,
that's probably the closest one I can think of. And we played it once, and it's just shit.
It just seems a bit slow when you've got FIFA.
You've got FIFA, exactly.
Yeah.
We had to iron the pitch first and then
nightmare.
Put it on the table.
Yeah.
It's slipping around on the table surface. The ball kept fucking going
with
off the
cloth
table.
Pitch, the only way you can really make it worth is to get a huge piece of chipboard and then pin it at the corners real tight.
Yeah.
And then you need to... Where are you going to store that?
Exactly.
Can't roll the cunt out. So that's
you could
the
do that in
got.
The 80s because you had space to do stuff like that because it was important. But now,
now your rig's taken up with all sorts of other stuff.
So, yeah, down with Subutio, up with FIFA. So you can win 500 free packs. To qualify, you've got to fill in the top 20 questionnaire, cut along the dotted line, send off to IPC magazines. First 500 readers pulled out of the postbag will get the Soccer Stars 82 top trumps. Questions are... Indicate your favourite Roy the Rover stories by putting one against your favourite story, two against your second favourite, and so on. If we were to feature a new story, what would you like it to be about? Would you prefer the stories told in photographs or drawings as they are now? They're considering photo stories, Jackie magazine.
Well, that would have been why, because this would have been the era in which Jackie would have been fucking massive. And I don't know whether that was also published by IPC, but maybe they're thinking, maybe we should introduce this photo story idea to some of the nation's boys.
That wouldn't work at all. You can do anything with a drawing. You can't do everything with a photograph. That's shite. Mm. Is there anything you don't like in Roy the Rovers? Yeah, that fucking question about the photographs. Is your copy of the Roy the Rovers delivered to your home, or do you collect it from the newsagent? Who buys it? Would you prefer to see less feature pages and more stories? Blah, blah, blah.
Do you enjoy films about gladiators? Is that one of the questions? Yeah. Have you ever seen two grown men naked?
Do you ever enter our competitions? Does Roy the Rovers publish enough competitions? Do you keep the My Team's league performance chart given away every August up to date? What about the My Team's performance page in the weekly? Would you be happy if Sign Please, which of course is the autograph poster page, also featured third and fourth division players? No.
Fuck that.
What type of free gift do you prefer? Posters, sweets, badges, charts, soccer albums and cards? In our card collecting schemes, we give you the first 2 weeks cards free. Do you buy the rest of the collection from the newsagent? Supposing Roy the Rovers went up to 20 pence next year, would you still buy it? That feels like one of our questions, that, doesn't it? An IFS question. Do you like seeing cricket featured in Roy the Rovers? What do you spend your pocket money on? Tick appropriate boxes. Sweets, crisps, cinema, clubs, societies. Yes, I spend most of my kids' money on societies.
I spend most of my money on societies, all of which I've started myself.
The Samuel Delaney Society. I have a clubhouse in the garden in the shed.
The Digging Society. Membership list, me, Darren from... Me, brackets, president. Darren from next door, brackets, undersecretary. Yeah. No further members. Not because we can't attract them. It's because we don't want them.
Do you regularly read any other comics? And if so, what are they? Please give us a list of our competitors. So that's that.
Would you like a page 3 feature where we have a gorgeous lass with her knockers out?
Did you like that cartoon the other week of the blast with the big knockers standing behind the goal? Did your dad...
Would you like to see more knockers generally or just in certain areas of the magazine?
First thing I did was go to the Famous Football Funnies page and see if there were any knockers this week, but there's not.
Well, this is the same publisher who just about 10 years later started to develop Loaded magazine. So maybe what we're seeing here are the sort of very earliest seeds of that revolution in magazine publishing. Yeah. Like, lads, we've been looking at it. Sales of Roy the Rovers are really starting to level off and have been for a couple of years. However, we have noticed one of the most popular parts of the magazine is when we have drawings of birds with big tits. I give you pull cloth off of a whiteboard. Loaded magazine.
Now, in 13 years or so from now, these 8-year-old Roy the Rovers readers are going to be 21 and they're going to want to look at knockers. So we need to start planning
for
the future.
Their hormones are going to go fucking haywire, but they're still going to like the football.
When does that happen? About 21. Yeah, right. So there we are.
Do you know what? That's true, though, you know. Like, you know, people say, oh, your hormones go haywire and you become, like, obsessed with shagging and birds and all that when you're 20, when you're an adolescent, right?
Yeah.
And teenager. People say that, and yeah, I started to be more into girls, I suppose, when I turned about 13, right? Mm. But I reckon it was sort of in your 20s you go even more mad about that sort of stuff. I suppose it's horses for courses.
Well, I think in your 20s you've kind of got actual access to it.
Yeah,
you don't
that's true.
Have so
that's
much
true.
When you're like 14.
But, suddenly there's an actual realistic possibility.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Sometimes. Although sometimes not. right, so that's the front cover, apart from the big story, which we'll come back to because it comes at the end of this issue. So into the Roy the Rover story, and at the top it says, there was a change of bowling and two more quick wickets. If that's not going to get you reading, I don't know what is. It says, two more quick wickets. Oh, I can't wait to get to them.
I'll put the kettle on. I'm going to settle down. This is going to be a long read.
It says at the top left, catch up on what's been happening. The Rovers were playing a series of one-day cricket matches against powerful Carmody's Cavaliers to raise money for struggling Stanthorpe United, who were managed by former Melchester star Lofty Peak, who, as we've noticed, isn't in attendance. In the first match, Mervyn Wallace was injured by a vicious ball from Aussie fastballer Ralph Meeker. And now Roy and Nat Gosden were battling to stay in the game. Now, Nat Gosden's a bit tasty at the wicket. We established that last time. Roy obviously believes he could represent England if he had to. Just chooses not to. So at the top, we've got a lovely full-width illustration of Roy knocking a delivery away with his bat for a single. He's got a great big fucking grin on his face. Have that, you cunts. There you go. There's another one. Knock that up. Put that on your fucking big scoreboard over there.
Get some cunt up on the ladder to flip the fucking numbers over. Like they do. I've seen them.
They climb up, don't they? They've got a little fucking deck where they sit on.
I tell you what, I want to fucking go at that before I go as well. Looks fucking good, that.
I'm going to put up race. I'm going to put up 407.
I spoke to Lofty about that, right? I said it was part of the deal that I got to have a go on the scoreboard at some point. I got to fuck about with it.
So there he is, and the Lampard's in the crowd. One says, oh, nice one, Roy. He's dabbed it through the slips.
He knows his stuff, that fella, doesn't he?
And then for another single. This is building up into a useful stand.
Whoa, really trying to show off.
All the jargon. All the jargon. Can I just say, we did mention cricket as being part of the Just Rest lifestyle. After we recorded this one, last week, the second test was on Channel 4.
Yeah.
And it started about 4 o'clock in the morning, but I was getting out of bed at like 7:30.
Yeah.
And just sitting down at 7:30 in the morning watching the test match. With a nice cup of tea.
Lovely.
Oh, that's
tea.
Living all right.
It really is, yeah. I mean, I haven't watched any of this yet. So we've had two, right? It's 1-1. When's the
third
start?
Been two so far, yeah.
Is that today?
I don't know,
or
but there's going to be a day and night one as well, I think. So that'll be later on in the day. So you'll be able to watch that kind of throughout the day.
Yeah. And the thing is, what I like about the idea of it as well is it goes really well with a pot of tea. And also, yes. I think just as some sports and some sort of spectator sports encourage legitimised all-day drinking, I feel that watching cricket at home for long periods, it is legitimate cake-eating time.
Definitely. I was just going to say tea. I thought you were going to say tea, and I was going to say and cake as well.
Well, obviously tea, but cake, yeah. You think, well, I'm watching the cricket. Let's get a fucking cake baked.
The Sainsbury's Taste the Difference Victoria Sponge, I find, is excellent.
Is it? I might give that a go.
Also as well, if you can't be bothered to sit through the whole thing, they show the highlights on More4 at about 1 in the afternoon. So you can just take an hour out of your day and just watch the highlights. It's all good.
Lovely stuff.
Anyway, so this is building up into a useful stand. And what's he called? Ralph Meeker has bowled that one and he goes, Gaia! Racy.
That's an Australian term.
I think it is, yeah. And he says, come on, Cavaliers, sort it out. You're fielding like a bunch of grannies. Look at Roy's face there. Look at Roy's face there.
He's really smug.
Yeah. And he's thinking to himself, sounds like Mr. Meeker is losing his temper, which is good news for the Rovers. I've got him. I'm red free inside his head.
I've just assembled my fucking deck chair and that cunt's not. I'm going to sit back and have a fucking sip of tea from my flask.
Ironically, I'm sitting down and watching the cricket for the day when I'm in there.
Watching myself score runs all day from inside his fucking brain.
That's fucking meta, isn't it? And then it says, but at the end of the over, after Nat Gosden had snatched another single, it's Ron Carmody, who's the chief of the Carmody Cavaliers, and he comes over and he says, okay, Ralph, well, Bowl, take a rest. The Lampard says, Ron Carmody is taking Mika off. That could be a wise move. And he says it was. New Zealand spinner Murray Washak came on in place of Ralph Mika. And with his first ball, pretty much, Nat Gosden hits it and it's caught straight away. Nat's out!
Oh, Washak, fucking hell, Nat, you prick.
Washak trapped him with an off break. Oh, an off break.
Fucking off break. Fucking hell. Should have seen Nat coming.
For that. Nat, you fucking knobhead.
I'm going to trap him with an off break. Sorry, that's South African.
Yeah, well, New Zealand, who knows? Mm. Who really knows how New Zealanders speak? I'm not sure.
New Zealand is the place where this is true, right? All the fucking billionaires, right? Mm. What's his name? Tesla fella, right?
Musk.
Your Musk, your Bezos, all these cunts. You know they've all bought compounds in New Zealand with landing strips. Yeah, they've been doing it for years.
Because, they have done that.
Yeah, right. They've done it. They've readied themselves. Why? Because they all think there's a chance that everything will go fucking mental, right? Because of the capitalist sort of insanity that they're overseeing, right?
Yeah.
And in the end, it'll just be fucking bedlam and anarchy, yeah? And they're ready. And plus, they think there'll be more viruses and stuff. And this was before COVID. They'd already got their fucking... And they've all got landing strips, so they can privately... They can just fuck off on a plane to New Zealand and land privately there, right, by their compound.
Do you think they secretly funded the New Zealand COVID recovery, which, let's face it, was the best one on the planet?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like chicken and egg, because on the one hand, the reason they were buying it was because they thought, because of its, remote location... And various other things, they thought it's the safest bet of any country in the world to be safe if the rest of the world goes into meltdown, right? And because it's an island, it will be a smallish island, it will be better able to protect its own borders and stop the madness of the rest of the world getting in, right? And so then when COVID happened, was it a case of, well, that was borne out to be true because look how well New Zealand dealt with it? Or was it, in fact, that by that stage, the billionaires had already committed and so they were like, we're going to bung some extra dough. What's the name's way?
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. And they'll have private armies as well, arming the borders of New Zealand.
I tell you who's living there as well. Who's Noel that? Edmonds, mate.
Well, he's not daft, is he? He knows which way the wind's blowing.
Exactly. Time. He went about 2 years ago. He was like, nah, fuck that, I'm going to New Zealand.
Activate the New Zealand operation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Blobby didn't want to come, but that's Blobby. He'll go his own way. He'll be there eventually. I know what Blobby's like. He's trying to prove a point that he doesn't need me. But sure as eggs is eggs, that cunt will be fucking turning up at my compound at some point.
He will fucking gravitate towards me in the end, as he always does. And I'm ready for him. I'll welcome him with open arms.
He wants to go and play his little games, pretend he's a grown-up, right, have a bit of independence. Fine, let him, because I fucking know how it'll end.
He'll come crawling along on his fucking rubberised knees.
Luckily for him, he found out he's got a different genetic makeup to humans, and it rendered him completely immune to COVID, which is why he's been able to go out and about just being blobbying it up throughout the old lockdown period, which, is nice for him.
I envy him.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
So, Ralph Washak has trapped, what's his fucking name, Nat Gosden. Vernon Elliott came in with Rovers' score standing at 111 for 7. That's not good, is it? And Mika is standing right next to the wicket. And Roy gives us the terminology here. He thinks, Mika is crowding the bat. Let's hope Vernon doesn't try to shift him by hitting out. Oh, fucking hell. So much terminology. But, and he gets bowled straight away, straight down the middle. Vernon takes a swipe and misses it. Oof, says Vernon. Old Vernon should have got a sight of the ball before trying a shot like that. Bowled him, shouts Mika. Roars Mika. Running out of partners, Roy is having a go at everything. And he is. He's just swiping away. Oh, says a Lampard as Roy hits a 4. He took a chance then, but it's another 4 to Racy. Well, yeah, but it couldn't last. And in the next frame, top of the second page, he gets stumped, skittled. I think they said, did they say that?
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah. I think so. Yeah, and it's straight past him into the off stump. Ah, he's gone, but Racy can be proud of himself. His 47 runs could be very valuable. I'll say so, 111 for 7.
Yeah.
Rovers' last two batsmen, Duncan Mackay and Jimmy Slade, entertained the crowd with some cheerful slogging. So there's Mackay hitting a 6. It's a 6!
It's not often you see a Scotsman playing cricket, is it?
No, not at all. No, the Scotland do have a cricket team. I've seen them played in the early stages of the World Cup before.
I went up to Edinburgh once with this this posh cunt. And let me be clear, I'm not saying he was a cunt because he was posh. I'm not being classist. But what I'm saying was he was both posh and a cunt, right?
Yeah.
It's quicker to just say posh cunt. And we went up there because I used to do a video game show called Gamer TV, yeah? And there was a gaming convention in Edinburgh and they wanted me to host a live event there. So I go up. And I had to go with him because he was like the boss of the company who made the TV show. And he was such a prick. He literally looked, dressed and behaved like fucking Tim Nice But Dim, that Harry Enfield character.
Right.
He literally wore a blazer unironically to work and shit, right? One of those, like a sailor's blazer.
Yeah.
And I was just sort of thinking, well, he's paying the fucking bill, so I better just not keep calling him a cunt, right? I'll just try and keep my mouth shut and let him just be a cunt. And we're in a cab that picks us up from Edinburgh Airport and it takes us up into, like, the city, and the cabbie's gone. The posh cunt's gone. Can you turn the radio up? I just want to hear the cricket scores, right? It was a test match on or something. And the truck cab driver's gone, what? And he's going, turn the radio up. And he's turned it up and it's like some other news. He goes, oh, must have missed the sports. Do you know what the score is in the cricket? And the cabbie's gone, the what? And he's gone, the cricket. And I'm like, straight away thinking, mate, can you not see how this is just a cunty thing anyway, right? And he's gone, no. He goes, I'm not, we don't really get much coverage of that up here. It's not really a thing. And he went, oh, really? Why not? And the cabbie just went to him. He looked at him and really went, put it this way, there's not many lads going around called Ashley up here. Because it was, what's his name, Ashley Giles, was it?
Yeah.
Who was playing for England at the time. I thought it was such a funny thing to say, so I'm like pissing myself laughing. And the Poshcut was really fucked off. When we got out, he just went, oh, I'll be a five. So he gives him a five without any tip. We got out, he went, ah, what a rude man. I don't see why he had to make that comment about Ashley.
I have got three Ashleys in my immediate friendship group.
Exactly. It was really like that. I don't see what's so wrong with the name Ashley. Yeah, he's done him.
So there we are. And the innings closes 154 all out off 42 overs. That's not a bad score against the team of the Cavaliers class. And there's a little pitch inversion as well. Fucking hell. Autograph books. Ahoy. Later, as the players went into tea, Blackie says, where's Roy? Because obviously that's his first fucking question at any given
I've
moment,
saved him
it?
A scum.
Where's Roy gone? I can't see Roy. Where is
I'll
he?
I'll put the biggest scum, the biggest, fruitiest scum aside for him. He needs his energy after that innings.
Has he gone to the toilet? Did anybody see him go to the toilet? Has he gone for a wee or a poo? Does anybody
know? Can
someone
go in and just ask, make sure he's all right? He doesn't want me to do it. He gets cross when I do it.
And then fucking Jimmy Slade says, search me. I thought someone said there was a telephone call for him. And then Paco Diaz says, and then he disappear.
Like demon. Puff. I've told you before, Paco, he's not a demon. We don't have demons here in this country. You don't have to keep worrying. It's not like in Spain.
Everyone gets searched for demons when they come into the country. They stop them at the border. But then, at that moment, we see Roy racing off in his car. His bright red car.
Vroom! And it says, at that,
pretty much needs to say that because there's loads of smoke coming out the back.
Yeah.
And he's thinking, good thing I left the telephone number of the cricket ground with Penny.
Lucky for me, I've got special dispensation from the Melchester old Bill to drive down bus lanes at 100 miles per hour. It's something I sorted out with Chief of Police in return for matchday hospitality four times a season.
And he says that it's all happened a little quicker than we expected as we see him racing in to Melchester General Hospital. Sure enough, he says, and then Roy rushes into, and it's the maternity ward, isn't it, Sam? Because, of course, Penny announced her pregnancy when Roy, as soon as Roy came out of his coma. He's guess like, what? I'm pregnant.
How long have I been out for? Oh, just a few months. So how the fuck are you pregnant? I'd like to know. Oh, there are ways and means.
Doctor! I've got to need a pen and a piece of paper.
I've extracted sperm from a coma patient. Well, you shouldn't be putting my coma sperm up your fanny. It's probably not right, not fresh.
We've already got one, daft lad.
We don't want another fucking basket case, do we? You want to wait for me to get back to fucking full fitness?
Full strength spunk.
How do you even get it up your fanny, I'd like to know.
Well, Roy, really, some things are a lady can keep to herself.
Not when it's me who's paying the fucking bills, you can't. Doctor, nurses, sorry, can you give us a bit of privacy here? You shouldn't have to hear this.
So he dashes
I'll
in.
Tell you what, They're better. Paco's not been fucking sniffing around again, has he? Well, I've been under the cosh.
Because you know what? I have got a very distinctive look. And also, Paco has got a very distinctive look. And it won't be hard to work out who's been involved.
If this baby comes out with a fucking moustache, I'm going to be livid.
If it comes out looking like a demon.
If he comes out with a moustache playing a pair of fucking maracas. Then I tell you what, missus, you're in for the high jump.
Pack your fucking bags.
Paco fucking bags. Good one, that.
That was good, wasn't it?
I'm only joking. I know you wouldn't have it off with Paco. Disgusting.
I know you. I perfectly understand that you extracted my sperm while I was in a coma. And, you know, sorted yourself out whichever way you needed to.
And you wanted to get it while I were living. You don't want a dead man's sperm. That's when you really do conjure demons, according to what Paco's told me. Anyway, he knows all about it. It's actually fascinating. Demon lore. They have it in Spain. It's fucking great.
He gave us an old 60-minute presentation the other week instead of us doing a tactics talk. We're good. That's changed. It was character building for the lads.
The lads, I fucking loved it. Some of the lads were a bit bored. Blackie fucking cried, of course, which weren't ideal.
Baxter was terrified. He jumped out of a window.
And we haven't seen him in training for the last week. Fucking good stuff, though.
But now Charlie Carter, he wants to do one about fucking Native American spirit. So I've fucking started something I can't stop.
Spirit guidance. He's called it Spirit Guidance, a beginner's course. I don't know. I suppose I can't say no now. I've let Paco do his demons bit.
It's all good for multiculturalism, though, isn't it?
Anyway, let's see this fucking baby.
I've wasted enough time talking about that. So he walks in, he says, Penny, are you all right, is it? And she says, relax, Roy. I could only manage one this time.
Thank fuck for that.
Yeah.
Last time I were in here, I'd just been shot in the fucking hair, and now this.
She says, we've got another baby girl. And he says, hey, she's beautiful. And we already know what we're going to call her, don't we? And Penny's there. She says, of course, not forgetting another happy event which took place recently. There's only one name we can call her. I immediately thought it would be Jay or Cheryl from Bucks Fizz winning the Eurovision.
You'd think so, yeah. Whichever
one I fancied the most, but no. And Roy shows her off to the camera, if you like. Shows her off to the readers. Look, everyone, look in this direction. Don't ask why. Just look up in this direction, everyone. Imagine there's a camera there. And he says, right, hi, Diana.
Fucking
so they
hell.
Fucking named her Diana. And this is July 82. This is a year after the royal wedding.
Is it?
So, yeah.
The royal wedding was 81, was it?
Oh, yeah. July 81.
Hell. I mean,
they've waited a year.
How pathetic is that? What's going through their fucking minds?
Ridiculous, isn't it?
She's just, no disrespect to Penny. She's gorgeous, but she is a bit fucking... She's just the sort. She sat home reading the fucking Daily Express every day, poring over pictures of Diana, a fucking bulimic basket case in an unhappy... Locked in a fucking... In a marriage in which she's being gaslit by her own husband. The dream life!
Can I just add, I've just done a quick search. Prince William was actually born a couple of weeks before this. Mm. So Diana was in the news as, you know, giving birth. That was quite quick then. So Charles had got her knocked up within 3 months of getting her married.
It's fucking madness in that family, though, man. Like, he's forced this fucking child, which is what Diana was, into marrying him.
A 19-year-old nanny, wasn't she? Yeah.
Admitted that he didn't really want to. Like, he's openly having it off with another geezer's wife. Yeah?
Yeah.
And... But I think he better get together with her because she's some sort of distant cousin and we only marry each other's fucking cousins.
Yeah.
And then he's immediately inseminated her, fuck knows how, because I very much doubt he was slinging one up her, right?
Well, it might have been coma spunk, I don't know.
Yeah, or exactly.
A royal equivalent.
The royal coat. Some fucking butler comes along and wanks him off with a white glove on into a silver pot that belonged to his great-great-grandfather. And then they come and use a tiny silver spoon, and one of the nursemaids spoons it into Diana's vaginal passage. And hence a new king shall be born 9 months hence.
we can only speculate, but yeah, that's what had happened, so that's why they call her Diana. Hi, Diana, says Roy.
Right, that's that. I've got to get back to the cricket.
Well, it is that, because it says in next week's issue, Rovers look like getting thrashed. So he does go back to the cricket. And the cover story, of course...
Not being rude, mate, but the baby's a bit peculiar looking, isn't it?
Yeah, well, maybe David Skew's not good at doing babies.
Babies are hard to...
He draws nudes, doesn't he? Doesn't mention babies on his list of things that he can draw.
I'm best at nudes. Footballers, babies, no, not so much.
No babies. I mean, this one's wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's like, I can only do the head of a baby. I can't do any other bits. It's a mystery.
That's the trick. Always draw him in a blanket. It's quicker. But
so yeah,
to be fair to Diana Race, not all babies, especially on the moment they're born, warning to any cunters out there who are about to have kids, there are a few because they sometimes inexplicably write to us to tell us.
Yeah. They do look like demons when they're born, don't they?
Yeah, you should know that although you see pictures of babies and they look beautiful, that'll happen a few days afterwards. When they're first born, they're all sort of screwed up.
Yeah.
So they can even be a strange colour too.
Bright red, yeah.
Or sometimes like sort of bluey brown, something like that.
Some of the skin might be dry on them.
Sorry, that sounded racist, what I just said, bluey brown. I don't mean that's a funny colour. What I mean is they look kind of... They can come out looking unwell, like a bruised complexion.
Yeah. Yeah, we probably shouldn't go any further with this direction of conversation.
Yeah.
But this explains what the front cover story was, and it's Penny in the hospital bed, Roy holding her hand, and he's also got one hand on young Diana, who's in the little cot next to the bed, and it just says, "It's a girl!" And there's like little... flower leaves in the writing where it says it's a girl, because that's kind of, that signifies a girl, doesn't it? Flowers and leaves. Yeah. It says, we know what to call her, Diana. So they've just given away the fucking ending of the story on the front cover, which I find inexplicable.
Bizarre, but like I say, it must have been some sort of sales reason.
Yeah. So there we go. There's some fantastic lamparding. Oh, do you want to give that marks out of 10? Because we always do that, don't we?
10.
I'm going to give it a 10. I'll give it a 9. I'll give it a 9 because they ruined it on the front cover. The Roy Race talking is, of course, where lots of the action happens, where the call of the week sometimes comes in and you get letters and correspondence from the readers. And there's a massive lamparding activity here this week from Hull, Northumberland. Philip here has written in. And the little section is called Decline and Improvement.
Oh, straight away, that's so a Lampard alert, isn't it?
And Philip here says, I have completed a mark system for the improvement and decline of the stories in your comic each week.
Oh, my God.
Oh, have you, mate? All right, then. I'll just fucking have a cup of tea while we do this. And he says, it's as follows, -1, a slow decline, -2, rapidly going downhill, -3, terrible and must be replaced, even no worse, no better, +1, a slow improvement, +2, a vast improvement, +3, brilliant and improving every week. Here we go. Roy of the Rovers, -1. And then he says, since you were shot, I have lost interest.
Thanks a fucking lot. Thanks for your support, cunt.
And Roy's printed this. The Marx Brothers, +1. Very poor at first, but it's picking up.
Fucking hell.
No, the safest hands in soccer, -2. Lawrence Conway is unrealistic. The Hard Man, +2. An excellent story and lot better than it used to be. The Footballer Who Wouldn't Stay Dead, +3. Andy Steele gives good hints, and this story has improved greatly. What, it gives good hints about not being dead?
Or about, but yeah.
Yeah. Mighty Mouse, -3. Not worth a place. It's terrible. Durrell's Palace, +3. Brilliant. After a slow start. He's got nothing good to say about anything. That's even the ones that he's praising.
Yeah, because like, praise like that's annoying, isn't it? Like, you know, when you do something and people praise you a bit for the first one, and it would be like if you started this podcast and people go, oh, I listened to your podcast, it's really good, I really liked it. And then after the second or third one, they go, mate, the podcast is great. I mean, it's really improved after that first one. Obviously, that was a bit dodgy. And you're like, you can't.
What's your podcast called then? Come on, let's have a listen to it.
Yeah.
Cunt. Finally, Tommy's Troubles, +1. It went through a bad patch, but it's on the way up again. There's Roy. Roy replies at the end. He says,
"They're interesting opinions, Philip." And that's all they are, opinions.
Roy's ultimately, his fucking baseball bat.
Ultimately, I'll wipe my arse on them and they'll be forgotten about because you're a fucking nobody. Whereas I am a top-class footballer and publishing impresario.
I did note that when you wrote your letter, I'd already recovered from the shooting incident. I don't know what that is. Is that a threat? I'm still the same old me, you know. Still, everyone is entitled to his stroke, her own views.
Yeah, obviously, mainly his, though. Let's not get too carried away. I don't want girls starting to write in this stuff. That really will be crossing the line.
Unbelievable.
I mean, fair play to Roy that he actually printed it, but that in itself is a counter power play, isn't it?
Yeah. And there's a little advertisement as well for Brian Leisure and Sports Limited in Beckenham, ooh, Kent.
That sounds
for
good.
For the Melchester Rovers strip. With the Gawler sponsorship thing on.
Now, you still buy those now quite readily, but back then that was quite a hard find, I bet.
They're not, you can't get the original. Someone brought them out as a replica version, but it's not the same one.
Right.
It's a snide version. So let's say maybe we'd be 34 to 36 inch chest, because that's the highest they go to.
Yeah.
For the shirt, $9.99, Sam.
Fucking hell. They must, the originals must be on eBay, mate.
I think I've seen one or two in the past, but they go for a very pretty penny.
Really?
A bit like Penny Race herself. I have got a Roy the Rover sports bag that I bought years and years ago. I've still got that. I found it the other day when I was digging out some stuff. So that's going to be worth £1,000, probably. So there we are. Melchester Rover strip by Gawler advertisement. That's it from this one. I've got nothing else to say.
No, I've had a lovely time, but everything has to come to an end eventually, doesn't it?
Yeah. We've had a nice time, but now, farewell.
You're so kind for taking the time to listen to us. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.